Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, December is time for a lot of holiday classics. We'll go through everything from the LNI to the Midwest Miracles Classic, all coming up next on Game Time.
And welcome back to another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. Man, and it's basketball season. You know, we're in full swing now. But this is always a fun time of year because this is when all of the classics begin. There's a ton of classics in South Dakota, and it's truly makes a lot of excitement and gives you that state tournament feel a little bit. But it's in the month of December and early parts of January, it seems.
Yeah, so we were not going to be on every week here through the end of the year. So we said, you know, let's just preview all of these classics. You know, everything from some of these small town classics like the Parkston Classic that have been going on for years and years to some of the bigger ones like the Hoop City Classic that is transformed and changed throughout the years. We'll give the lowdown on what teams, what players, and what matchups to really zone in on over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And as always, you can catch us on Wednesday nights on SDPB1 TV. You can catch us on YouTube every Wednesday as well. And then also check us out in the podcast world. You can listen to the audio version of us on your drive or whenever it's convenient for you. So make sure to check us out. Give us those 5-star reviews. Subscribe to us. All that good stuff. It's because of that and because of viewers like you that make this show possible and keep us going week by week, I guess
you could say. That's right. We do it for you guys. So, oh, we like it too.
So, Jandy, you know, looking at the classics, I think one of the big ones, and it's one that starts this week, and it, you know, it's taking place this week. It's out in Rapid City. It's the Lakota Nation Invitational. This is one of the events that people mark on their calendars every single year because there's just so many teams that come in for this kind of
event. It's so unique in that it's not just a basketball tournament.
Absolutely.
Either. Obviously, you know, they feature wrestling, they feature arts, they feature everything from culture to sports to everything.
Yeah, it's like a festival, basically.
It's basically a festival. So if you haven't had a chance to go check it out, make sure you do. This is the 48th annual Lakota Nation Invitational, one of the most unique events in the world, really, because who else puts a basketball tournament on with a cultural celebration like the LNI? So we love that. But we're going to talk about the basketball, and it's pretty cool because they have teams come in and play in challenge games, they call them, in a separate bracket for teams, you know, looking to get their foot in the door. And then they've got brackets for both boys and girls basketball featuring some pretty big heavyweights that go Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, kind of a state tournament type of feel. So it's really unique in, as far as that goes, too.
And yep.
Just tons of basketball teams that'll be playing, you know, at the Ice Center, at the
in the Summit
the
Arena,
Monument, and then you know, and at then, Rapid City Central too. So
absolutely, yeah. There's just so many. And credit to Brian Brewer here too, because what he has done with this event over the last, you know, almost 5 decades now is just truly tremendous. They're always looking at the next step. And that is something, you know, that Brian Brewer and his staff have just done an exceptionally great job with over the years. So hats off to them. And, you know, we wish them the very best of luck with another Lakota Nation Invitational, because it's truly going to be one of the big events this week. But, you know, looking through and seeing some of the matchups, you know, people sometimes will forget who won a state championship in a class, but they can remember the LNI champions going all the way back.
Well,
and, you know, that just kind of shows you how big of an event it is. You know, so you got Rapid City Christian a year ago. They had a really, really exciting Lakota Nation Invitational.
Yeah, a lot of good seniors on that team. And then, you know, we're able to defeat Pine Ridge, who lost 79-62 in that one. And then on the girls' side, this was kind of the beginning of Makbialuta's reign, and they just rolled through the LNI last year and took down Rapid City Christian in the finals. He doubled them up, 62-31. So a couple of really strong teams, and those teams are back this year. But in the boys' side, you got Pine Ridge and one of the more notable players in the state, Marvin Richard III, who's looking to make his mark as a senior, would love to take home an LNI championship to start the season.
Yeah, and you got to think with that Pine Ridge team this year, just because of how last season I guess, how it kind of unfolded. You know, they did play a much tougher schedule all across the board a year ago, and they just weren't able to find their way to the state tournament.
Right.
There's a lot of hunger on that team this year, including, as you mentioned, with Marvin Richard III. And it'll be just really interesting to see how this, how LNI kind of sets that tone for Pine Ridge this year. And maybe it's like what you mentioned with Makpealuta, how the girls, how it was kind of propelled their reign. Maybe this is an opportunity for Pine Ridge to make a statement, and it kind of lifts them
up. I think that's what they're hoping for. But the rest of the field, you've got Custer, Tate Vinson taking over as the head coach, and Custer taking on Dupree, Cheyenne Eagle Butte, and Lakota Tech. Rapid City Christian comes back with a little younger roster than they've had in years past. White River, who's had a ton of success at the LNI over the years, comes in again with the younger, unproven team. They would love to get back to state, you know, where they missed last year, and that's a rare occurrence for them. And then Wall looking to make a real big impact on this. In fact, talking to their coach, he said, this is an opportunity for us to really get our name out in the state, is how we play in the LNI.
Right. What a way to set the tone, you know, with an early season invitational like this. You know, if you perform well, all of a sudden you go from being like in a conversation to, ooh, now that's a top dog.
Oh, we won the LNI, or we made it to a Saturday night. Yeah. Right. So a lot of good teams going on in that. And then on the girls bracket play, that'll get going as well. Makpealuta comes in as a heavy favorite in this one, taking on Marty in the first round. But there's some good talent on the rest of this bracket. You see Crow Creek and Todd County, Cheyenne Eagle Butte taking on Little Wound. Wall, the girls are an improved team this year, taking on St. Francis Indian. Lakota Tech is a team. Yeah. I feel like they're ready to take another step up too this year. They've done a good job being relevant, but this year have a couple stars.
Yeah, and Laura Big Crow's done a great job with that program. And for a few years there, it was Lakota Tech and Makpealuta that were almost like dead even. We saw them even match up a time or two at a state tournament, you know, at times. So they were kind of neck and neck there for a little bit. Now, obviously, you know, Makpealuta's kind of went up. But we know how big basketball is for the Pine Ridge community, and that includes Pine Ridge High School. That includes, you know, Makpealuta, that includes, you know, all the schools that you got there, including Lakota Tech.
Yes.
So, you know, it's part of the culture there. Basketball is such a big deal. So it would make complete sense to see Lakota Tech start to creep back up a little bit.
Yeah, I Amelia Shangro, Lizzie Robinson, two players who have really stepped up their game, according to Laura Big Crow, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do on a big stage like this.
Well, then next week here, this weekend, there's an interesting tournament also taking place in Coleman. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, the Entringer Classic. You may have heard of the Entringer Classic over the years. A lot of the DVC teams play in it. The proceeds go to fund the Michael J. Entringer Scholarship Fund. He was, you know, an official for years who passed away from, he's from Coleman, passed away back in 1990, and then they established this classic, and it remains strong over the years. It's been going on for a long time, 28th annual girls tournament now, and it's in Coleman, his hometown, which means a little bit extra. And again, great teams invited to this thing. You know, Madison, Oldham, Ramona, Esteline Hendricks, Duel, Garrettson gets to play in it against Elkton Lake Benton, and then Baltic taking on Castlewood. And then in the main gym, you've got some big hitters with Del Rapids, Arlington, Sioux Valley, you know, a team in the rankings right now, Del Rapids, St. Mary's, who made that run last year to the state tournament, Chester, who I think is one of those teams that really could make an impact this year once they get going against DeSmet and Hazel Luthmers. You're going to want to watch that one for sure. Hamlin and Dubrook. They do arrange the games so they get better throughout the day. This one could be the game of the day for me. Hamlin taking on Dubrook, and then Coleman Egan taking on Flandreau. And Flandreau, with Morgan Shepherd really ready to evolve this year as one of the top players, and Brinley Landis, the hometown Coleman Egan Hawks, you're going to have a little extra rooting for her and the team on that nightcap.
Yeah, I mean, you said it best. Like, the games kind of get better get more exciting, I guess, as the further down you go. And yeah, I'm looking at that Hamlin Dubrick area game, and it's like man, that's one we got to keep our eye on.
That's state tournament type stuff right there. And I, you know, talking to both these coaches, really want to challenge themselves. And you know, Brad DeBeer said he scheduled more Class A opponents, I think, this year than he has Class B opponents. This is one of those situations where they can really test themselves early on. town.
Absolutely. And then there's the boys' side, too. It's their 32nd annual on the boys' side of things. And you've got Coleman Egan versus Arlington. You've got Chester and Duel. Now, the boys' one, though, that's going to take place New Year's Eve, correct?
That's New Year's Eve, and that's in Brookings, not in Coleman. But, you know, in a couple different gyms playing, and you mentioned, yeah, Chester Duel, Garrettson, Oldham, Ramona, Rutland, Dubrick, Waverly, South Shore, and Iroquois Lake Preston taking on Sioux Valley in the auxiliary gym. And then you get into the Bob Jostad gym, and you got some heavy hitters with Esteline Hendricks, who I think another team that feels like they could make a step up this year, Flandreau. In Luke Shepherd, another Shepherd that looks like he could be an impact player leading the Flandreau Flyers. And then Del Rapids taking on Castlewood. I mean,
that'll be
got a good Class A team going against the number preseason number ones.
That'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. And then Madison, Elkton, Lake Benton, a lot of athletes on both sides there. Baltic, one of those teams that, you know, starting out in the receiving votes, a win over DeSmet could vault them up into the rankings really easily. And then Del Rapids, St. Mary's taking on Hamlin, another fantastic nightcap in the entering your class.
Yeah, the St. Mary's versus Hamlin one, that's another one where, man, must-watch TV, I guess, if you can't be there. That's going to be one where you're going to be wanting to try to find the stream for, because that there's some incredible games. And then also this weekend is the Holiday Classic down in Vermilion at the Sanford Coyote Sports Complex. And this one's a little bit interesting. You know, there's a couple girls game. You know, there's the just why don't you talk about this one a little bit, because there's some teams too that aren't even from South Dakota that are going
to
be here.
Last year was great when Centerville got to play in this, and Vermilion, some real state level type teams, and they get to test themselves against some of the good teams just across the border. Crofton, one of the teams in Nebraska that is traditionally had great teams, and then you get some good Iowa teams as well with Sergeant Bluff Luton coming into this one. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the best teams in the southeast part of the state take on some of those best teams from just across the border.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you got the Cavalier Classic. Okay, well, you got some good games here too. You got Aberdeen Christian versus Redfield, Wabe Summit versus Aberdeen Roncalli on girls, and then for boys, you've got Mobridge Pollock versus Roncalli and Aberdeen Christian versus Dells. Now that's one right there that I'm excited about.
All these teams are really testing themselves early on, and Wabe Summit, I'm really looking forward to watching Addison Heinge as she takes. Transfers into Wabe Summit this year to take on a really good Class A Roncalli team. So that'll be a great gauge for her and for their team to see how they're playing. Mobridge Pollock has improved, and Aberdeen Christian ready to make another run, I think, this year. And they, a good Class B team loves to test themselves against good Class A teams, and that's what's going to happen in that last one.
So we're seeing a theme here, Jandy. We're seeing some early tests where we got some really good Class B teams going against some really good Class A teams. Yeah. And that's what makes these classics fun.
Oh, yeah. And all these Class B coaches love finding as many classics as they can. And this is the time of the year when you don't have as much school going on.
Yep.
And you can find extra time to get your travel and early in the year and get your rotation set. And really figure out who you are as a team. And that's what we're going to see in some of these early season classics.
Well, then, when you think of the term President's Bowl, you always think of football, and what the President's Bowl has been for so many years in the Sioux Falls area for those Sioux Falls schools. But now for the third year, they've had the President's Bowl basketball style at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this.
This is something that Mitch Begeman, years ago when they were doing the football games, he was always like, wouldn't it be cool if we had a President's Bowl for basketball, and he made it, him and plenty of other people made that come true. And over the last couple of years, it's really built as a great way for these teams to not only get to play on Heritage Court and play some really good basketball at the beginning of the year, but to continue to raise funds for the Sioux Falls School District in a big way, which is what the President's Bowl is known for. So, yeah, third year of doing this. We start out Lincoln and Roosevelt play, both girls and boys. I think the boys game right there is the one that people have marked down. I really want to see how Roosevelt comes out against a Lincoln team who doesn't have as much depth as they did last year, but the star power is off the charts for Lincoln this year. And then Roosevelt, for me, two of their best players just played on Lincoln last year. So you got a great matchup between players who know each other very well. It's going to be a great way to start off.
So if it gets a little, if it gets a little scrappy, they don't even have to exchange the phone numbers because they're already going to have them, right? They already know each other.
They're really already on Snap and all that stuff. Yeah, they'll be well known. And then the late games that first day are Washington versus Jefferson, both girls and boys. And I think on the girls' side, this is the one where you look at, you want to see how Brinley Altenberg plays with her new crew over at Jefferson. She has just been so impressive as a leader the last couple of years, and now he has even more of that clout behind her. Against Washington, a team who played a lot of freshmen last year, who really have a chance to be really good sophomores this year. I think Josie Beitler had moments last year where she was one of the best players in the state. If she can build that consistency this year, she, as a sophomore, could really level up and into one of the best players in the state. So Washington Jefferson is going to be a great matchup, not only the girls' side, but the boys' side too. Both those two teams looking for a little respect. Really does these teams well. So looking forward to those. And then the second day, the matchups are Jefferson against Lincoln and Roosevelt against Washington. And again, you know, Roosevelt girls, they're a team that has been improving steadily over the last couple of years. And with some young players, this is going to be a huge test for them against Washington. In years past, you know, they would struggle just to play with these teams, and now they're looking to contend this year. So looking forward to seeing how they do in that matchup too.
Hoop City Classic.
Yeah.
All right. Where do we start with this one? This is one that a lot of people know about.
Exactly. It used to be the Mike Miller Classic. It used to be some in the Sioux Falls, some at the Corn Palace. Now for the last couple of years, the Hoop City Classic has been in Mitchell. And it's one where they invite teams from across the country and play against some of the teams in the area, and it makes it for a lot of fun. And then they also have some battles in the area against just some really good teams. And this year, you know, they've got a couple new directors, but the directors have worked with the Hoop City Classic for the last few years, so don't expect any changes, anything new. This is still going to be an awesome basketball event starting on Friday, December 27th, and going through Saturday and the next Monday as well. Actually, Sunday they do have a college game with Dakota Wesleyan as well, so make sure you take that in. But, yeah, 4 days of awesome basketball at the Corn Palace.
Yeah, and you're not kidding when you look at some of these teams. You got teams from Florida. You know, it's not just, you know, there's a few from Minnesota, but then you've got Tennessee, Nevada. I mean, you're not kidding when you say that there are teams from all over the nation that are a part of this event.
Yeah, and these teams have done this before, and they come back because they love, you know, the support that this event gets, and they love how they're treated here when they come play at the Corn Palace. So, yeah, you're going to see some really good teams get some chances to play. And a lot of classics, you think of a lot of the Class A and B teams. There's also Double A teams. Harrisburg getting to play against Orlando Christian Prep in this one. Mitchell plays against a Minnesota team. And then Sioux Falls Christian gets the nightcap against Coronado, Nevada. A huge test for Sioux Falls Christian. And, you know, if you're Coronado, this is not going to be one that's going to be a layup for sure. This is going to be a tough, hard-fought game.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch the matchups, you know. And I'm also kind of you know, selfishly curious too. But imagine being like a younger classman or, you know, underclassman for some of these out-of-state teams. When the coach says, we're going to Mitchell, South Dakota, we're going to play in the Corn Palace. And then you pull up next to the building, maybe it's your first time being there, and you look and it's literally a building that looks like it's made of corn.
It's decorated corn, exactly. A total unique experience for anybody who's ever encountered the Corn Palace, but it's known in this state for sure as hosting some of the best basketball, and this event does not disappoint. And then the second day, you've got some of the girls' teams that have a chance to play. Hamlin and Ethan both going on the girls' side. Again, some of these teams from out of state getting some different matchups. Brandon Valley gets their chance to play an out-of-state team. Can't wait to see Mitchell girls play this year with, you know, the two middle schoolers leading the way. Tally in there, and then you got CeCe Morgan too, another eighth grader who's made a huge impact for Mitchell.
Awesome. Well, then you got the Parkston Classic, and that's also here coming up on the 30th of December, so right before the New Year's too. This one we're going to see teams, you know, on the boys' side like Platt, Parker, Parkston, obviously, and then Dakota Valley, Sisseton, and Winner. And then you got, you know, Corsica Stickney, Dakota Valley, MCM, Parkston and Platt on the, and Viberg Hurley on the girls' side too. So, you know, with Parkston, yeah. this is an event too that you've known about for a long time.
Yeah, I've visited the Parkston Classic several times, and you know, I remember going there when Chloe Lamb was playing, and they get some of the best talent from around, and again, some really good talent this year. And Parkston, both on the boys and girls side, have really good teams, so they're going to have great matchups once they do the pairings here. And you know, Siston, Dakota Valley, team winner, those teams really have an opportunity to get a good game in December.
The Big Bow Classic is also taking place on the 30th of December. 12th annual. What can you tell us about the Big Bow Classic?
Yeah, again, Bo Reinhardt, Muchikalnes passed away back in 2013. They started to make a classic in his name in Woolsey, Westington. And again, some of these continue to gain foothold, and it's been strong ever since. So this is a big one for Woolsey, Westington, and some of those area teams around there. Looking forward to seeing Bennett County boys play. The girls getting a lot of headlines, but the boys have a chance to be a really good team this year. And on the girls' side, again, six really good teams looking for three really good games that day.
Yeah, this will be fun. You know, and yeah, we talk so much about Bennett County girls, but there's also an O'Neill that plays for the boys team.
Yeah, Rush O'Neill, and a lot of good talent on that side of the ball as well. So they'll have a chance to make a mark in that game, and just a great time, a great atmosphere to play some basketball.
Well, and you know, a lot of people think of, you know, Aberdeen kind of being the home for the B-Boys tournament, but they're also hosting the NSU Girls Basketball Showcase on the 30th of December, too, which, you know, gives some teams an opportunity to play in one of the better basketball facilities that we have in the state.
That's what I love, and I love that they call it the showcase, because they really are going to showcase some talent in this one. Hamlin, again, finds their way there. They're taking on Mobridge Pollock in one of the more anticipated games of this classic, because to me, Mobridge Pollock has a chance right there to solidify themselves as a top five team if they can play well against Hamlin, but that's going to be a tough task. Of course, Addie Neuendorf going to play at NSU next year, so we'll get a little preview of that court for her. And then the Aberdeen Central girls taking on Minot. Minot has been a star team in North Dakota for the last couple of years, and that's going to be a classic matchup with Aberdeen Central, another team that really wants to set the tone for the year in a big way with two stars on that team and four returning starters.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, I love it when you see out-of-state teams coming in and you get an opportunity to see, because we're so used to always seeing how do we match up with each other in the state. Rarely do we get the opportunity to see how teams in our state compete against teams from other states. And again, this is just another opportunity to see it.
I love that about basketball schedules, is just seeing how these teams, you know, challenge each other with interstate battles like that. And Minot is one of those teams that, you know, they're just not good one year and bad the next. They're a consistently top five team in North Dakota over the last several years. So Aberdeen Central will have their hands full.
All right. Well, the Midwest Miracles Classic. Let's take some time and talk about this one. This was the second annual for it. It was started by a young man out of Viberg Hurley named Kobe Sherman, who, when he was in high school, was diagnosed with cancer. Kobe actually tragically passed away in November of this year. He had started the Midwest Miracles Foundation, which is a foundation that raises money for pediatric cancer families, which is a phenomenal foundation. And they decided to, along with that foundation, wrap this Midwest Miracles Basketball Classic event around it too.
Nice
got
shirt,
the
by
shirt
the way.
On it. We were in attendance for it last year and got a chance to see it firsthand and see all the love and support. You know, there's auctions that were items that were auctioned off a year ago and stuff like that. And yeah, with the recent passing of Kobe Sherman, not only is this going to be a basketball event and all of the stuff that goes with it with the foundation, but I think there's going to be a lot of people with heavy hearts as Kobe's no longer with
us. And I've seen a lot more. I've seen some billboards around it. I've seen, you know, they're moving to the Corn Palace to make this a bigger event. So, you know, Kobe's got to be proud just of his vision and what he started, and watching his legacy be able to continue to grow, you know, even after he passed away, and in something that he loves, which is athletics and specifically basketball. He has really done a great thing to start this. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of teams here that are going to want to compete and continue the honor that he started.
And we did do a feature a year ago as well on the Midwest Miracles Classic. You can find that on YouTube or on our SDPB Sports social devices if you want to go check it out and kind of get an idea. Kobe, we interviewed him for that, so you can get an idea to really dive in with the mentality he had and the strength that he had through all of the battles that he was going through. It, you know, he truly was an inspiration to us all.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, this lineup reflects, you know, the quality put into this tournament. From 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., games are going every hour and a half, and tons of great games to watch, including McCook Central Montrose taking on Vibert Hurley right away in the day. And Vibert Hurley comes in with some confidence this year.
Yep.
A new coach there, too, really trying to get things back to where they were a couple of years ago. Centerville Boys, another good team, taking on White River, who's always looking for a classic to play in. Bridgewater Emery Girls, Centerville Girls, that's going to be a great game for a noon game. And then the Bridgewater Emery Boys with Ben Weber and company taking on the Lyman Boys. That's another, like, that could be a top five state tournament type preview game. Corsica Stickney Girls and Lyman Girls, another one that, you know, both getting recognized as top teams in the state. Clark Willow Lake, I'm really looking forward to watching them play. They get the Trey Hansen and the Vermilion Boys. That's going to be awesome. The Ethan Girls, Clark Willow Lake Girls, that's going to be a great one. I was talking to Tom Young a couple weeks ago. He was really looking forward. He was looking for some information on CWL to see if I knew anything. He's always looking to scout, but he's going to be ready for that one. And then the Vibert Hurley Boys and Shane Warwick and his team ready to represent against the Wall Boys. And Freeman taking on Pine Ridge. Those two last games are going to be, I mean, just outstanding games to finish this one off.
Yeah, like last week for our our basketball preview show, we talked about the Vibert Hurley Boys and how, you know, impressed we are with Wall and what kind of a year that they might have being ready to pop. And then Freeman as well with what they're wanting to do, you know, getting to state last year. And then you got the Pine Ridge Boys who last year maybe didn't go quite the way they wanted, but you got Casey Means trying to rally his team back and get them motivated for a run. And you got Marvin Richard III. So, I mean, you're talking about superstars being on the court there in those final two games.
No better way to honor Kobe Sherman and his vision and foundation than celebrating with some great basketball games.
And one thing, too, really quick to note, and this is last year when Pine Ridge went to the Midwest Miracles Classic, they actually presented Kobe Sherman with a star quilt as well, was a really, really emotional moment for a lot of people that were in the building.
The highest honor. That's great stuff.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Madison America's Hometown Classic. Yeah, and this one will be right after the New Year's.
Madison puts on a couple of really good tournament, the DSU Classic. This is the baseball organization puts this one on, and a lot of great teams. Again, they fill it up with their auxiliary gym and their main gym. You know, a couple of the nightcap ones, Flander taking on Mobridge Pollock. Those are the Mobridge Pollock girls getting another big game in at the beginning of the year. Madison and Worthington boys will be great. And then Madison Parker to finish off the night on the girls' side.
It's another opportunity to see how the teams of South Dakota match up with similar teams that are in some of our neighboring states.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. And then I have to mention one more game that we'll talk about before we get back on for our regular shows on January 7th. But we'll have to recap the Bennett County Makpialuta game that's on the 3rd. It's not a classic, but definitely one that you're going to want to tune in for because you basically have the best team. In my opinion, the best team in Class A going against the best team in Class B.
Yeah, and that is one right there. Mark those calendars. That'll be on January 3rd.
Yep.
We'll be all anxious to find the live stream that night and take in that game because it'll be a ton of fun.
I think it's going to be great.
So this is just a preview or a little bit of a rundown of some of the great classics that we have in South Dakota. Again, classics are phenomenal, all the way from LNI down to the Midwest Miracles Classic. There's just so many good opportunities for teams and schools to figure out where they rank a little bit amongst some of their neighboring teams and some teams from other states.
And some teams using it to figure out where they're going to be and what they need to do to get to that level, and some testing themselves early on for what they hope are similar tests coming up in late February and March.
All right, so just a quick heads up again on the scheduling. We will be off the next 2 weeks because of the Christmas holiday and then obviously with New Year's, but we will be picking it back up on January 7th, every Wednesday from that point forward, all the way through basketball season. We're going to be here
No more breaks. This is it.
Get ARS now, Jandy.
That's right.
So, yeah, we hope you enjoyed this. And if you missed the preview show, you can go back and watch that as well to kind of figure out like what we liked about some of the early season rankings and things like that. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe. Also, subscribe to us on the podcast world at SDPB's Game Time. He's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck, and we'll see you after the New Year's.